Have you ever come across the concept of custom beauty? I know it sounds skeptical. It's like every time you scroll online, there's a new miracle product promising to fix your hair and skin woes. But let me tell you, PROS is the real deal when it comes to custom beauty. It's not just some marketing gimmick. Your personalized formula wouldn't even exist without your input. Each product on PROS is whipped up just for you, tailored to your specific needs, and they go deep into their consultations, delving into over 80 factors to really get a handle on your life and beauty goals. We're talking about everything from your hair and skin concerns to what you eat, how much you work out, and even how stressed you are. My friend Jen has been using PROS and raving about it non-stop. They even asked her about her zip code to suss out things like water hardness and UV index. When I hit the States later this year, PROS is going to be at the top of my shopping list. But until then, I'm living vicariously through Jen's luscious locks and glowing skin. Trust me, this stuff is the real deal. PROS is so confident that you'll love your results that they're offering my listeners an exclusive trial offer so you can see the difference custom care can make. 50% off your first subscription order at PROSE.com/morbidology. That is PROSE.com/morbidology for your free consultation and 50% off your one-of-a-kind formula, PROSE.com/morbidology. Between children, daily commitments and household chores, it can be impossible to find time for the gym. Well, if gyms aren't your cup of tea, then you should work out at home with Gymondo, the online fitness and well-being platform. It has hundreds of 20 to 30 minute workout and training programs, as well as thousands of recipes for varied diets. Start a 14-day free trial and save 50% on your annual membership by visiting Gymondo.com, that is Gymondo, and entering the promo code Morbidology.
I'd like to get, if possible, have a wellness check done on my daughter. She flew in from California Sunday night. She got in about 1, and it was the last time I've heard from her, and I've been trying to get a hold of her all week.
It was June of 2019 when a young woman vanished after getting off a flight from Los Angeles, California, to Salt Lake City, Utah. Investigation would uncover that she had ordered a lift from the airport, but it didn't take her back home. Instead, she was driven to a local park in the dead of the night. Mackenzie Luke was a 23-year-old woman originally from El Segundo in California. She had moved from California to Salt Lake City in Utah, where she was studying kinesiology and pre-nursing at the University of Utah. Mackenzie had been studying since 2014. She lived in an apartment near Trolley Square. She was also a member of the Alpha Chi Omega sorority. Mackenzie loved to travel, having recently just traveled alone throughout Europe. She had ambitions to attend nursing school or medical school, and was really looking forward to starting a career that was centered on helping other people. Mackenzie really loved to help other people, no matter how big the task. Mackenzie made friends with ease, and she was known to be mothering and nurturing. Her friends described her as positive, outgoing, and a bubble of happiness. As her friend Kennedy Stoner said, "She's a genuine person who tries to make everyone feel appreciated and loved." Mackenzie had many friends, but her best friend had to be her cat, Nova. In fact, Mackenzie had thrown her cat a birthday party, which was replete with a cake made from special cat food. All of her friends were invited to the birthday party, and they were asked to wear party hats and bring confetti. Mackenzie's family, including her parents Greg and Diana, still lived in California, mostly the Los Angeles area. She had been raised in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and she had three brothers. Mackenzie was also really sporty. She had played water polo at high school, and she was on the swim team. In the middle of June 2019, Mackenzie flew from Salt Lake City to Los Angeles in California to attend her grandmother's funeral. She had passed away on the 13th of June, and Mackenzie paid tribute to her on her Instagram account, writing, "I'm sure many have already heard, heaven gained an angel on Monday. My grandmother, Papa Jerry, was a hero to many." It was Thursday, the 20th of June 2019, when Mackenzie's parents reported her missing to Salt Lake City Police.
Yeah, I'd like to get, if possible, have a wellness check done on my daughter. She flew in from California Sunday night. She got in about 1, and it was the last time I've heard from her, and I've been trying to get a hold of her all week. And her phone just tends to go to voicemail. I was just wondering if I could have somebody maybe go by her house and check on her.
They informed police that the last time they had spoken to Mackenzie was on the Monday. She had texted them at around 2 a.m. from the Salt Lake City International Airport, informing them that she had arrived safe and well from California. Since then, her cell phone had been switched off. The last time that it was used was at around 3 a.m. that morning. The first point of action for police was to get in contact with Mackenzie's friends to try and retrace her last known movements. Her friend Ashley Fine informed them that she hadn't arrived to work as a lab associate at PRA Health Services in Mill Creek, and she hadn't shown up to their classes at the University of Utah. Mackenzie's friends had gone to her apartment, but they found that she wasn't there. Her car was still at the apartment, but her luggage was nowhere to be seen. They also spoke with their neighbours and asked them to keep an eye out for her. In a bid to generate some interest, her friends printed out missing person flyers and distributed them throughout the area, as well as shared details on social media. Ashley said, "We've been spreading the word across the nation, across the world. We have to do everything to look for her, because I'd want her to do that for me." The missing person flyers describe Mackenzie as standing at 5 feet 6 inches tall and weighing around 120 pounds. She had medium-length blonde hair and brown eyes. She had an athletic build, wore eyelash extensions, and she had a dream catcher tattooed on the middle of her back. Her friends and family were extremely concerned for her welfare. For her just to vanish like this was completely out of the ordinary. While Mackenzie did live away from her parents, she was in constant contact via text message and phone call. The same went for her friends. They always texted throughout the day. As her friend Kennedy said, "She's just the sweetest, most genuine girl. I love her. I miss her. I'm extremely concerned for her and her well-being." Her other friend Ashley commented, "We're millennials. Not answering your phone is very, very unusual. Even if you're missing or you want to disappear, you have to turn your phone on for GPS." Mackenzie's loved ones would utilize social media, setting up a Facebook page called Find Mackenzie Luke. In a statement, her family said, "Our primary goal is to find Mackenzie and bring her home. Her family is grateful for the concern, prayers, and the tireless efforts of the Salt Lake City Police and members of the community." According to friends and family of Mackenzie, they believe that after leaving the airport at Salt Lake City, she ordered a Lyft from her mobile phone. Lyft would release a statement which read, "We recognize how scary this must be for those who know and love Mrs. Luke. The safety of our community is fundamental to Lyft, and we are actively assisting law enforcement with their investigation." They also confirmed that Mackenzie certainly had ordered a Lyft and revealed that her route contained no irregularities and ended at the destination that Mackenzie had put in, and the driver then continued picking up customers after her ride ended. Fear for Mackenzie's well-being escalated even further when she missed her midterms. Mackenzie was very dedicated to her studies. She had also left behind her cat, and she was scheduled to fly back to California to attend a friend's wedding. All of these things set off alarm bells, As her friend Rachel Palmer said to the media, not going home to your pets or your roommates, or just dropping your luggage off, that's very abnormal. Not going to work, having your phone off for 5 days now, very, very bizarre and alarming. Nevertheless, police hadn't released anything to indicate that they believed that Mackenzie was in danger. They simply referred to her as a missing person, and there was really no formal search party, with Salt Lake City Police Sergeant Brandon Shearer stating, "We don't have anyone searching any particular area right now because we don't have any credible evidence of where she may be." They did urge the public to get in contact if they knew anything about Mackenzie's disappearance, and even appealed to Mackenzie herself. They acknowledged that sometimes people like to disappear on their own volition, and asked that if that were the case to please get in contact and let them know. Police Chief Tim Dowd stated, "We just want to make sure that you're safe, and we will respect your wishes." While it had been assumed by Mackenzie's family that she must have gotten a lift to her own apartment, it soon became apparent that that wasn't the case. Mackenzie had actually been dropped off at Hatch Park, which is a park in a Salt Lake City suburb around 20 minutes away from her apartment. The park is located in a popular downtown area, nestled between apartment complexes and restaurants. The Lyft driver said that the person Mackenzie was meeting at the park pulled up in a car, and when Mackenzie got out of his vehicle, she didn't appear to be distressed. Mackenzie then climbed into this person's car. This was at around 3 a.m. in the morning. Police announced that they had searched the park and the surrounding area several times, and they had reviewed surveillance footage from the area. Unfortunately, at the time, the park had dummy cameras. Police additionally said that they had no reason to doubt the Lyft driver's story, and he had been ruled out as a suspect. As mentioned, after he dropped Mackenzie off, he continued with his shift, picking up other riders. Police released some photographs of Mackenzie from inside the airport, hoping it could refresh someone's mind. She was wearing black sweatpants and a light-coloured sweater. She was carrying a small black backpack, a large blue purse, and a brown suitcase. They also issued a public appeal to the person who met Mackenzie at the park, stating, "We have exhausted all avenues of determining that information and want to ask this person to please call us." While it was known that Mackenzie had met someone at the park, police still didn't even know the gender of this person, nor could they make out the model or make of the car that had pulled up and picked her up. A press conference was held to inform the public.
"Some of the questions you have are the same questions our detectives are seeking answers for. We encourage the public to help us answer these questions. These questions include, does Mackenzie have an alternate phone that she has used or is using? Who did Mackenzie meet in North Salt Lake City? Does Mackenzie have any social media accounts we don't know about? And is anyone in contact with Mackenzie online or by phone currently or within the last week? Our detectives have been working around the clock on this case, and finding Mackenzie is a very high priority for us. A significant portion of our department has been assigned to work the case. We've been in contact with our federal, state, and local partners. We've had regular contact with the Lueck family. Chief Brown has personally talked with the family and offered our commitment to finding Mackenzie. We will continue to work with them or anyone who has information on this case. Again, we are asking anyone with information to please contact us."
When it was reported in the media that Mackenzie had been dropped off at a park in the early morning hours, some people took to social media and essentially blamed Mackenzie for her own disappearance. Some people suggested that she was irresponsible for going to a park late at night. One culprit was Barstool Sports, which publicized and then quickly deleted a blog post cracking jokes about Mackenzie's disappearance. It was written by Francis Ellis, and in it, he mocked Mackenzie's follower count on Instagram. Ellis would ultimately be fired for publishing the piece. The victim blaming was so prevalent, in fact, that the Utah Domestic Violence Coalition released a statement which read in part, "Victim blaming and shaming is inappropriate and unacceptable. In addition to perpetuating myths about abuse, assault, and violence, victim blaming wrongly excuses the perpetrator's behaviors Our focus should solely be on the safety and well-being of Mackenzie Luke. After the first week passed with no information, police obtained a search warrant for Mackenzie's cell phone records. Surveillance footage at the airport had captured Mackenzie texting with somebody as she was leaving the airport, and there was speculation that this person could have been the person she met at the park. As the search for Mackenzie was underway, her friends put out a public plea for information and asked others in the area to join in. They posted a video online during which her friend, Michelle Gallison, said, "We are looking for you. I hope you're okay. Even if you're laughing on the couch somewhere about this, I hope you at least tell someone that you're okay." By this point, a tip line had been implemented, and around 200 tips had come in. Each tip was being thoroughly investigated. Then on Wednesday, the 26th of June, police obtained a search warrant for a home in the Fairbank area. This area was near the park where Mackenzie had been dropped off by the Lyft driver. The police presence in the area was noticeable, and neighbours reported seeing a grey Kia sedan being towed away from a home. Police and crime scene technicians could be seen entering and exiting the home throughout the day and long into the night. At around midnight, police were spotted carrying shovels into the home's backyards while bags of evidence were removed. The owner of the home was 31-year-old Ayula Ajay. As the media was congregating around the home, some neighbours chatted with them. They said that Ajay had turned part of the home into a rental, which he rented out through Airbnb. One neighbour, Tom Camomile, said that Ajay kept to himself. When he was outside, he almost always had earbuds in, and he very rarely spoke with anybody. There were some neighbours who reported that Ajay had been burning something in his backyard shortly after Mackenzie vanished. When they looked out the window, they could see that he was pouring gasoline on a fire in his backyard. Some neighbours lamented that the smoke was coming into their windows. Joseph Peterson said that there was a strong stench from the smoke, stating, "It definitely assaulted your nose." In fact, a neighbour had come out and asked Ajay what he was doing. He claimed that he was burning pallets. One neighbour took police around the back to show them the burn pile.
Just like paper in that.
Where's your
side,
house?
The yellow one.
Is it okay if we come back there and look?
I don't think.
Is that okay?
And then here's some more. Well, that's a piece of paper.
Three, four, 11, okay.
But does that look like a bone or?
No, it doesn't look like a bone. But
huh?
Definitely burned.
Yeah, this is what I'm asking. This is, what are you burning?
Oh. You've talked to the detectives and everything?
Yeah.
Cut up jeans, man.
Leave it there. And I'm going to go tell the sergeant to come back and look at it.
You don't want me to bring it up?
No, just leave it where it was. Just stay here with it and I'll be right back.
At the time, there had been a man staying at Ajay's house. He told police that he woke up on the 17th of June to find Ajay already awake. He was sitting on a trash can in front of his opened garage, and he asked the renter if he knew how to get gas out of a vehicle. He told him he needed to burn some pallets and needed to figure out how to get some gas. He would go with Ajay to a grocery store where he purchased a gas can and then filled it with gasoline. The renter said that when they returned home, he went and took a shower, and when he came out, Ajay had started a fire in the backyard. According to the neighbour Tom, when Ajay first moved into the home, he was friendly and they had even discussed landscaping improvements. How many free trial subscriptions end up costing you hundreds, if not thousands of dollars, long after you forget to cancel them? It's time to fight back against scammy subscriptions with Truebill. Truebill is an amazing new app to help you identify and stop paying for unwanted subscriptions. On average, people save $750 with Truebill. Companies often make it hard to cancel subscriptions, and Truebill makes it super easy. Just link your accounts and Truebill will cancel any unwanted subscriptions in just one tap. Truebill Concierge is there when you need them to cancel unwanted subscriptions, so you don't have to. For me personally, I got a Prime subscription for the holidays and completely forgot to cancel it. But Truebill had me covered. They truly do save you hassle and money, and I cannot recommend it enough. Don't fall for subscription scams. Start cancelling today at truebill.com/morbidology. Go right now to truebill.com/morbidology. It could save you thousands of dollars a year. Before living here, Ajay had lived in an apartment with his roommate, Zach Slater, who said that he was quiet and nice, and that he had dated a number of women. Over the past handful of months, however, neighbours said that Ajay's demeanour had changed, that he stopped interacting with people, and he stopped taking care of his yard like he had done beforehand. Nevertheless, when he did speak with somebody, he was always polite. Something else peculiar about Ajay was that a couple of months beforehand, he had contacted a local contractor and asked them if they could build a small, secret, soundproof room in the basement. He wanted there to be a thumbprint lock and hooks hanging on the wall, which he had claimed were there for wine racks. Ajay had told the contractor he had a girlfriend coming from out of town and that she was a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and didn't know that he drank alcohol, so he wanted to hide it. The contractor asked that if that were the case, why did the room need soundproofed? Ajay replied that he may use the room to listen to music by himself. Ajay had said that he would be willing to pay whatever necessary for this room to be built, but the contractor found the request so disturbing that he turned down the job offer. It would also be discovered that around a week before the home was searched, Ajay had given away a mattress and a box spring. Police announced that they were wanting to speak to the person who retrieved the items. Ajay had used an online exchange platform to dispose of the items, and somebody had come over and picked them up from outside his home. While Ajay wasn't named as a suspect, police would announce that he was a person of interest in Mackenzie's disappearance. Ajay was a naturalized US citizen born in Nigeria. He had come to the United States on a student visa, but while here he had married a woman named Tanisha Jenkins. The couple had divorced in January, and I'll speak more about that in a little bit. Ajay had attended Utah State University, where he studied computer science on and off for several years, but he didn't earn a degree. In 2012, he was banned from the campus after he was arrested on suspicion of stealing an iPad. While he had left the university the year beforehand, he still milled around the campus, sleeping on sofas in resident halls and keeping his belongings in a janitor's closet. He had also served in the Utah Army National Guard for 6 months, but he failed to complete basic training and was then discharged in June of 2015 after failing to meet medical procedure standards. Ajay had even published a book called Forge Identity, and he referred to himself as an entrepreneur on his author profile on Amazon. The book was a fictional book based on a young boy who had witnessed a gruesome murder and found himself conflicted between a life of crime or creating a new path in life. He had also attempted to launch a modelling career with model management. On his model profile, he had written, "I am tall, bugged, funny, I am a victim, romantic, violent, and character actor." Back in December 2017, he'd been cast as a football player in a commercial, but this was the extent of his modelling career. Just 2 days after the search at Ajay's home began, police announced that they'd been arrested on charges of aggravated murder, aggravated kidnapping, obstruction of justice, and desecration of a body. When police had searched his backyard after the comments from his neighbours, they found that there was a burned area as well as a fresh dig site. A cadaver dog was brought into the garden, where he detected the scent of human decomposition on the burn area. A forensic excavation would be conducted and they found several charred items that were identified as belonging to Mackenzie. Even more horrific, they had found charred human tissue, and the examination of that charred tissue came back as a match to Mackenzie. They also found Mackenzie's burned phone, bone, a part of her scalp, and a rib bone. Some more charred items were found in the alley next to Ajay's home, including black clothing and a possible purse strap or backpack strap. In the home, police found knives, razor blades, scissors, a stun gun, sweatpants, and a hoodie that had bleach stains on it. They also found socks with bloodstains near the washing machine, And in a trash can in the bathroom upstairs, they found something even more gruesome. Multiple pieces of cut up bone. Ajay's car was also searched, and there was a noticeable stench of gasoline emitting from the truck. A gas can was also found in the trunk, and police were able to determine that this gas can had been purchased just hours after Mackenzie vanished. Chief Mike Brown would state that calling Mackenzie's parents, Greg and Diana, to inform them of the crushing update was one of the most difficult phone calls he had ever made during his career. Ajay had become a suspect when police were able to access Mackenzie's cell phone. They identified him as the person that Mackenzie had been texting when she left the airport that night. What had hampered the initial investigation was that it wasn't immediately known that Mackenzie had been using TextMe, which is the third-party messaging application for cell phones. Both Mackenzie and Ajay were active users on dating websites, including Tinder and Seeking Arrangements, which is a dating website to connect sugar daddies and sugar babies. It was on Seeking Arrangements that Mackenzie and Ajay had met. The first time that they spoke on the app was back in 2018, but they had never actually met up. They had chatted back and forth before deciding to meet up in the park that night. Cell phone data would also show that Mackenzie and Ajay were both at Hatch Park that night, which indicated that he was the person who picked her up. When police had identified Ajay as the last person Mackenzie had been texting with, he came in for questioning. He explained that he had PTSD and anxiety, which was why he had used various dating websites to talk to women. He claimed that he never met up with any of the women, including Mackenzie.
We didn't call you down here. You're not under arrest. You're not being detained. You can leave anytime you want to, okay?
It just doesn't make sense. I want to get to the root of it,
sure.
Too.
Yeah.
Because when you said my IP is showing,
right.
That means something is wrong.
Okay, so you're still willing to talk to us and show us this thing is right?
I only want to share two things with you.
Okay.
So that is a seeking arrangement. So if you see, some of them are even in Seattle. And some of them, so it's like, even some of them are in Philippines. So I have PTSD and anxiety. I just need to talk to someone whenever I'm alone and I'm freaking out.
So this is the Seeking Arrangement website?
Yes.
Okay.
So, and I go through the whole everything. I can't see anyone that matched that profile and that matched that picture. I put it up on KUTV just like you put it up for me. I check all of them.
Okay.
But if you see, you can see most of them are in Seattle, Ogden, everywhere around the world.
Okay.
So I never even try to meet them. I just need someone to talk to whenever I'm freaking out, so to calm down. So even some of them are in Washington, D.C.,
mm-hmm.
and one in Logan. So all of them, all we just do is to talk. And if I met her from there, I'm positive that I probably don't want to meet her because all this is not revealed to my baby mama, and I don't want her to know about it. So I never meet any of them.
He claimed that he had messaged Mackenzie back and forth over at the dating website, but claimed that she had blocked him, and then their communication ended. He even showed police a screenshot of their messages and said to them that Mackenzie had stopped replying to him because he sent her a picture of himself.
No, she messaged me, and I just showed him my profile.
Well, no, but
my phone number
is there. Back and forth a couple times.
Yeah, like two times.
Well, I mean,
and she just stopped responding. So on that website, you can put it there like, you don't want this type of race or this type of gender.
Mm-hmm.
So she stopped responding once I sent her my pictures. So I thought maybe she just doesn't want my type of race. So I just stopped responding to her.
Right.
He said that he had stopped responding to her when she stopped responding to him. Police knew that this was a lie and knew that they had been messaging just before Mackenzie vanished. They then informed him of this.
See all this? These dates right here,
mm-hmm.
the 17th, all these dates and times, the 16th when I told you,
mm-hmm.
and when you told me 6:12, all these messages are messaging her phone from your Wi-Fi, from your IP.
Really?
Mm-hmm. That's why we're coming to talk to you. We didn't just pick you out of from a phone book, you know?
Yeah, that's why I was freaking out. I started logging into everything. It's like, I need to start gathering information. I even called my lawyer already. I'm like, I don't know what's going on.
And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying you did this or you were involved in it at all. I'm just saying that someone at your house or someone was using your IP address, that's all.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to get to the bottom of it.
I would like to do that because
yeah.
I'm freaking out already. I have anxiety and I have PTSD, so That's why I've been calling you, like, please let me help if any way I can help. Even my lawyer don't want me to come here right now.
Jay fell under an even deeper cloud of suspicion when he claimed that he had no idea what Mackenzie even looked like, stating that he had never seen a photo or online profile of her. However, that would quickly be determined to be a lie as well, when police found that he had several photographs of Mackenzie saved on his cell phone. Have you ever come across the concept of custom beauty? I know it sounds skeptical. It's like every time you scroll online, there's a new miracle product promising to fix your hair and skin woes. But let me tell you, PROS is the real deal when it comes to custom beauty. It's not just some marketing gimmick. Your personalized formula wouldn't even exist without your input. Each product on PROS is whipped up just for you, tailored to your specific needs, and they go deep into their consultations, delving into over 80 factors to really get a handle on your life and beauty goals. We're talking about everything from your hair and skin concerns to what you eat, how much you work out, and even how stressed you are. My friend Jen has been using PROS and raving about it non-stop. They even asked her about her zip code to suss out things like water hardness and UV index. When I hit the States later this year, PROS is going to be at the top of my shopping list. But until then, I'm living vicariously through Jen's luscious locks and glowing skin. Trust me, this stuff is the real deal. PROS is so confident that you'll love your results that they're offering my listeners an exclusive trial offer so you can see the difference custom care can make. 50% off your first subscription order at PROS.com/morbidology. That is PROSE.com/morbidology for your free consultation and 50% off your one-of-a-kind formula, PROS.com/morbidology.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
During the interrogation, Jay said that he suffered from post-traumatic stress disorder and glaucoma. He said that he was suffering from shortness of breath, and medical staff needed to come into the room and examine him. They found that he was hyperventilating. Jay would eventually be confronted about all of the evidence gathered against him, but he continued to claim that he had never met up with Mackenzie, that he had been at home playing video games all night.
We have had a week and a half now to prepare, and we have been very busy because I care about Mackenzie, and I want her. I think you did care about her. I agree, and I know that there's more for you to tell me, and you're holding back, and I don't understand why. AJ, I just told you that your phone records and the location put you up at the meet. You think honestly and expect me to believe that you ended that conversation and somehow you and her location end up in the exact same spot?
Oh, I'm not doubting you. If I see that too, if I'm in your case, I would be asking myself, what are you asking me right now?
It's not a miraculous question.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Okay.
Stuff doesn't just happen.
No.
Yes, I agree with you.
I'm telling you to explain that. And so far, you have not.
Well, how do I explain something I don't know?
Are you saying you don't know or you don't remember? Because those are two different things, AJ.
After AJ was arrested, he was ordered to be held without bail. Following his arrest, it would be disclosed that this wasn't the first time that AJ had been in trouble with law enforcement. 5 years beforehand, he was accused of rape, but the victim would ultimately decline to pursue charges. In that case, a co-worker of AJ reported that the contact began consensually, but when she wanted to stop, AJ refused. The victim made a report in case he did the same thing to somebody else, but then she decided against pursuing charges. AJ was actually divorced, and his ex-wife, Tanisha Jenkins, would reveal that she had fled from their marriage because of the violent outbursts he had. The last time she saw him was when she was at a friend's house in Dallas. He threatened to kill her if she didn't come to Utah with him. She said that he tried to tie her up with a phone cord, and when she tried to run away, he blocked the door. To escape, she launched herself through a window, cutting her arm in the process. Ajay chased after her with a knife and cut Tanisha in the hand. Before this, Ajay had cut Tanisha off from her friends and family and had started to threaten her, which was when she had decided she would leave. She said to KUTV, "If I wouldn't do what he told me to do, he got real aggressive. He was like, I'll have someone come and kidnap you and kill you." Mackenzie's family would provide a statement in the wake of the grim news during which they thanked police for their work. It read in part, "The Luke family would like to express their gratitude for the effort put forth by the Salt Lake City Police Department and partnering agencies who assisted, as well as all of the people that provided tips in this case. They are also grateful to your community, her friends, and people around the nation who have supported this investigation." Mackenzie's friend, Kennedy, would set up a GoFundMe to try and help her family pay for the funeral. The donation page read, "We are all mourning Mackenzie's death. We only feel it's right that we start a GoFundMe page in honour of her and any expenses that her family endures. We have come this far with Kenzie, and we won't stop advocating for her. Our hearts are hurting and we're all experiencing anger, frustration, sadness and loss." Tributes would come flooding in across social media, with one from the Alpha Chi Omega sorority reading, "Our Alpha Chi Omega sorority is grieving the loss of Mackenzie Luke, and we send our deepest sympathies and prayers to her family during this incredibly difficult time. We hope that our Alpha Chi Omega sisters, who knew Mackenzie best, can find peace and comfort as they reflect on the lasting impact she made on the lives of her family members, friends and sisters." A makeshift memorial would also appear outside of Jay's home, where Mackenzie's remains have been found in the backyard. People left bouquets of flowers, candles, cards of condolences and trinkets. A vigil would also be held at the University of Utah. Before the crowd, Mackenzie's friend Ashley said, "When I had envisioned tonight, this is not what I had planned. We had planned a prayer vigil for Mackenzie's safe return for this evening." Around 200 people showed up to the vigil where they recollected their fondest memories of Mackenzie, from the birthday party for her cat, to her obsession with tacos from streetcars. Her friend Kennedy struggled to hold her composure as she said, "Everyone who knew Kenzie knew how fun she was to be around. She was a people pleaser. It breaks my heart knowing that she died alone in such a scary place." During the vigil, Mackenzie's friends revealed that they had planned on setting up a non-profit organization to advocate for victims of violence as well as assist families in helping search for their loved ones when they go missing, with Kennedy stating, "Mackenzie did not have a voice during her disappearance or time of death, and I want to continue being that voice for her." Shortly after the vigil was held, Ajay's family would come to his defense. They lived in Nigeria and had hired New York attorney Janet Fashikin, who spoke out on their behalf. She insisted that the characterization of Ajay in the media was false, and that Ajay was a good and hardworking son who cared about others. Attorney Fashikin also said she didn't believe that Ajay would be able to get a fair trial in Utah, partly because of the color of his skin. As Ajay's family were coming to his defense, more of Mackenzie's body would be found. While charred human tissue was found in Ajay's yard, it was only that. The rest of Mackenzie's body wasn't there. Her remains were found buried in Logan Canyon, which was around 85 miles away from Ajay's home. It's located near the Utah State University, so it's presumably an area that Ajay knew well. Mackenzie had been killed by blunt force trauma to the head. She was found with her arms bound with zip ties and ropes. There was a 5-centimeter hole to the left side of her skull, with part of her scalp missing. After she was beaten to death, her body had been burned. District Attorney Sim Gill would update the public on the gruesome update. As it transpired, Ajay's cell phone data had placed him at the canyon around a week after Mackenzie disappeared. Police embarked on the scene and trekked into the canyon. During their search, they came across a disturbed area of soil underneath a grove of trees. It was here that they unearthed Mackenzie's body. After the gruesome discovery, Ajay was formally charged with Mackenzie's murder, as well as aggravated kidnapping, obstruction of justice, and desecration of a human body.
Thank you all for being here today. It's with heavy heart that I address you today. After an exhaustive week of investigation, we are filing charges of aggravated murder, aggravated kidnapping, obstruction of justice, and desecration of a body in the homicide of Mackenzie Lewick. The man charged with these horrific and tragic crimes is the person of interest, Ayola Adese Achaya. I will not be saying the killer's name again, but will go through what has transpired in the last 12 days. During a search warrant on the arrested person's residence and property on June 26th, the arrested person's neighbors informed detectives that they observed him burning something in his backyard with the use of gasoline on the dates of June 17th and June 18th. The search warrant resulted in the findings of a fresh dig area on his property, which is the same area that the arrested person was reported burning something. A forensic excavation of the burn area was conducted, which resulted in the finding of several charred items that were consistent with personal items of Mackenzie Lewick. Other charred material was located, which has now been forensically determined to be female human tissue.
He appeared in court via video link for the first time on the 14th of July. The courtroom was packed with Mackenzie's loved ones. During the hearing, Ajay didn't say anything. Neither did his defense attorney, Neil Hamilton. Meanwhile, police were continuing their investigation into Mackenzie's murder. They were at Jordan River Parkway, just 15 minutes away from the courtroom, where they were searching for evidence related to the case. In the river, they found Mackenzie's University of Utah student ID card, as well as multiple items of women's clothing. All of the clothing had been cut up with a knife or scissors, and there was also a bra which had been partially burned. The clothing was consistent with items of clothing that were found burned in Ajay's backyard. Just the following month, Ajay was additionally charged with 19 counts of sexual exploitation of a minor. When his computer was searched, police found child sex abuse images. Shortly thereafter, he would be charged with felony kidnapping and three other counts of forcible sexual assault. After his arrest, a woman had come forward to report that he had sexually assaulted her back in 2018. The woman had met Ajay on a dating app for members of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and she went over to his house for a dinner date. Later, they were watching television when Ajay began kissing the woman intensely. She tried to move away from him, and he responded by pinning her arms down and sexually assaulting her. It would be decided that Ajay would be standing trial on the murder charge as well as the separate sexual assault charge, and the trials would be separate. In October, Ajay would appear in court. He pleaded guilty to the murder of Mackenzie and to the sexual abuse of the other woman. Details of Mackenzie's murder would be disclosed during the court hearing, in an agreed-upon statement of facts. It was revealed that Ajay had planned the murder of Mackenzie, and before meeting her in the park, he turned off his home security system. When they returned to his home, he began to choke her. Mackenzie had fought for her life, and Ajay responded by looping a belt around her neck, pushing her onto her stomach, and strangling her. She was also bludgeoned on the head. And blunt force trauma was her ultimate cause of death. Ajay then burned Mackenzie's body in his backyard and buried it. It was after police identified him as a suspect and came to speak to him at his home that he decided to dig Mackenzie's body up and bury her at the Logan Canyon. When police were taken around the back by the neighbour, they were standing above Mackenzie's body. While Ajay had first of all denied that he killed Mackenzie, he ultimately told police where he had buried her. The guilty plea had come as part of a plea agreement, in which Ajay pleaded guilty to aggravated murder and desecration of a corpse in exchange for the death penalty being removed as a possible sentence. A potential motivation was never disclosed. Outside of court, District Attorney Gill said, "The entry of the pleas today starts the process of bringing some closure and a measure of justice to the Lewick family." The sentencing phase was to follow over Zoom. While no conclusive motivation was ever revealed, Prosecutor Mark Mathias said that evidence suggested Ajay simply wanted to know what it felt like to kill somebody. As he said, this was murder for murder's sake. Victim impact statements would be presented. Mackenzie's father, Greg, said to Ajay that he felt no compassion to him because he had shown no compassion to his daughter when he snuffed out her life.
I've waited a long time to confront my daughter's murder. I have no compassion for you, as you have no compassion for my daughter.
He said he hoped that Ajay would spend the rest of his life in prison, looking over his shoulder in fear. He stated, I'm not sure you have anything to look forward to in the afterlife, if you believe in that. My daughter, Mackenzie Luke, was a sweet, amazing young lady, with the world ahead of her. He went on to say how amazing and kind-hearted Mackenzie was, and lamented the fact that he would never get to see her grow old. Her mother, Diana, recollected how she was a caring and loving young woman. She described her daughter as a real spitfire.
My life has been changed due to the selfish, premeditated decision you made on June 17, 2019. Instead of planning my daughter's graduation party, I planned her memorial.
Her cousin Carly Stevens said, this is a nightmare you can't wake up from. I will never be able to forgive what happened to her. I will never forgive the monster who took her life. Never in my life have I felt anger the way I have the last 16 months. Never have I been so fearful for my life, because I now know how real evil is in this world. As the family spoke of their loss, Ajay stared towards the ground. He was given the opportunity to speak, and he said, Mr. and Mrs. Luke, I'm sorry for what I did. I deserve what I'm going to get. I know this won't bring her back. He was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. Outside of court, Mackenzie's family provided a statement through her uncle, Gordon Stevens.
We are blessed and honored to have Mackenzie in our lives for the last 23 years. Her memories and her spirit will continue to live with us.
Far too often when women are victims of violence, they can be blamed for that violence being inflicted on them. When Mackenzie Luke was reported missing, and even after she was found dead, people tried to blame her for her own murder, stating that she shouldn't have been meeting a man in a park that late. Mackenzie, however, had every right to meet whoever she wanted to, whenever she wanted to, and feel safe in doing so. And the same goes for all women. Unbeknownst to Mackenzie, the man she thought she was meeting was a persona, a mask of normalcy put on by a cold and calculating man who had long been harbouring dark thoughts about violence against women and murder. Well, besties, that is it for this episode of Morbidology. As always, thank you so, so much for listening. I'd like to say a big massive thank you to my newest Patreon supporters, Sharon and Tammy. The support on Patreon seriously goes such a long way, and I'm eternally grateful. Please do check it out if you want bonus episodes of Morbidology Plus, ad-free and early release episodes, a handwritten thank you card and some goodies, and of course the most important, my undying love. As I'm sure you're all aware, the countdown to CrimeCon UK has begun. I'm going to be there on Podcast Row all weekend, so please do come and hang out. I have a 10% discount for my listeners at crimecon.co.uk. Just enter the code MORBID or the code WINDOW, as in The Shattered Window, my other podcast. Remember to check us out at morbidology.com for more information about this episode and to read our true crime articles. Until next time, take care of yourselves. Stay safe and have an amazing week. Have you ever come across the concept of custom beauty? I know it sounds skeptical. It's like every time you scroll online, there's a new miracle product promising to fix your hair and skin woes. But let me tell you, PROS is the real deal when it comes to custom beauty. It's not just some marketing gimmick. Your personalised formula wouldn't even exist without your input. Each product on Pros is whipped up just for you, tailored to your specific needs, and they go deep into their consultations, delving into over 80 factors to really get a handle on your life and beauty goals. We're talking about everything from your hair and skin concerns to what you eat, how much you work out, and even how stressed you are. My friend Jen has been using Pros and raving about it non-stop. They even asked her about her zip code to suss out things like water hardness and UV index. When I hit the States later this year, Pros is going to be at the top of my shopping list. But until then, I'm living vicariously through Jen's luscious locks and glowing skin. Trust me, this stuff is the real deal. Pros is so confident that you'll love your results that they're offering my listeners an exclusive trial offer so you can see the difference custom care can make. 50% off your first subscription order at pros.com/morbidology. That is PROSE.com/morbidology for your free consultation and 50% off your one-of-a-kind formula, pros.com/morbidology.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.